And one of the reasons that we see so many of our clients feeling overwhelmed and burnt out is because they're not asking for support. They think they have to do it all on their own. Have you ever said to yourself, I don't have enough time?
I am so overwhelmed.
I need more clarity.
I don't know how to do this.
My to-do list is miles long.
I'm exhausted.
There's got to be a better way.
Hi there, I'm Brad.
And I'm Manette. Not only have we said all these things ourselves, but we've heard our community of creative entrepreneurs say them over and over again.
That's why we created the Structure and Flow podcast. I'm Structure.
And I'm Flow. And this is the productivity podcast for creative entrepreneurs.
We believe that doing more and working harder are not the solution to your productivity challenges.
We believe in more play, more fun, and more profit. Join us as we explore the interplay between structure and flow so that we can bring more grace and ease to your creative business. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 104 of the Structure and Flow podcast. I'm Dr. Manette Riordan, along with my husband, Brad Dobson. I don't even think we said our names on the last podcast.
That's all right. They know who we are.
They know who we are. We hope they know who we are.
So today, we're going to tell you the one thing that you want to do to increase your productivity fast. That's quite a hook.
It is a hook, and it's true. And we both know it's true. And yet, we didn't say it was an easy thing or a fun thing. Oh, look at your screen now. It's really pretty.
Oh, my God.
So Brad's got these awesome pictures on his screen. This is the Productivity Podcast, and I am like the queen of squirrels today. There's birds flying out the window, cats meowing, and Brad has all these pretty, like, cool cosmic images on the back of his screen.
Focus on
that. Right now, they match our shirts.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm being a little silly. Sorry. We're a little punchy. It's the end of the week. It's a Friday.
It is that.
And 1 week from today, Brad leaves to drive to Colorado.
Yeah, this is the end of my biggest week in training, and I am tired, and I still have a weekend to go.
Yeah. So if you don't know what we're talking about, Brad is about to compete. I don't know if compete is the right word. Participate.
Finish.
Finish his third Ironman triathlon.
You bet.
And it kind of is fascinating that you are so structured and organized when it comes to that. And yet, you know, this is one of the reasons we're doing the Structure and Flow podcast, is because we both have some challenges and struggles inside of our business with managing structure and staying in flow and getting enough of the right things done. Because remember, we believe productivity is not about doing more, wearing ourselves out, or being busy for no reason at all, but learning how to focus in on the most important aspects of our work so that we're really doing quality work. And productivity, the true definition of productivity, is actually about the quality of your output, not the quantity of your output. And so that one thing we're going to talk about today is, drum roll, please.
It's support. So this is episode 104, and this is part 4 of our 9 pillars of productivity. And this pillar is support, getting support. So what's our quote?
Yeah,
our,
you didn't even say the word, the hard part for you, right? Asking.
Oh, yeah.
It's not getting support. It's asking for support. So the fastest way to increase productivity.
Guys, don't ask for support.
And build your business fast. Like I talked to a couple of business owners, other coaches recently, one who got to multiple 6 figures within 3 years, one that got to 7 figures in the first year. And the way that they did that was by investing heavily in team from day one. And we're going to talk more about how to do that and why you should do it. But first, I'll share the quote. So sometimes it takes more courage to ask for help than to act alone. It takes more courage to ask for help than to act alone, from Ken Petty. And there's a lot of reasons why we don't ask for support. We don't want to appear weak or stupid. We don't know who to ask. Sometimes we don't know what to ask for. We believe that we have to do it all. And this is my favorite one. No one can do it as good as I can, as fast as I can, or as well as I can.
And I think I run into those last two a couple of times.
Yes, for sure. And well, and I think none of us want to appear weak or stupid is a big one as well. And it feels like asking for help and asking for support is a sign of weakness, when that's really not the truth at all. These are simply limiting beliefs, and those limiting beliefs about not being able and or willing to ask for support impact the ability to grow your business faster and to improve productivity. Because the truth is, we cannot do it all and we're not good at all of it. What was my analogy from the last one? Juggling hats?
Juggling hats, yes.
Yes, as entrepreneurs, creative entrepreneurs, we're all juggling many, many hats.
I wonder if it's also for folks that are a little more introverted like myself, whether there's also, well, in fact, I know this is true.
Answer your own question.
Sometimes I just don't want to work with more people.
Yeah. And so my answer to not wanting to work with more people is that it's about clear processes and systems, clear expectations. Here's the expectation for the amount of work that gets done. It's the beauty and benefit of working with contractors in today's marketplace. In fact, I heard an interesting statistic from our client Cami yesterday that in sometime over the next couple of years, 50% of the work population are going to be freelancers.
Interesting.
So there's more and more movement towards independent contracting rather than traditional full-time employment. And the beauty of working with contractors is they're not in your space. So that helps from that introversion perspective a little bit. Right. So what happens when you try to do everything by yourself? You get instantly into burnout, overwhelm. You find yourself working nights and weekends, sacrificing time with family, not taking a vacation for years on end. Brad and I were out for a walk this morning, and I could tell that his energy wasn't as high as normal. And he's like, man, I just haven't had a break. He hasn't had a break from work. He hasn't had a break from training, because when he's not working, he's training.
Yeah.
And
it's like a second job.
It is like a second job. How many hours this week are you putting into training?
This will be between 16 and 17 hours of training.
It seemed like last week it was like 20.
I don't know.
Hours, but it's a lot of hours. It's like a second job, right? Getting this done. And so you need to be effectively asking for help. And there was an awesome book written, oh gosh, it's been a long time ago, called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. If you've been in business for any time at all, you've probably heard about this book. And it's the entrepreneurial myth. And the entrepreneurial myth is that we are all great at all aspects of building a business, which is just flat out wrong. There are so many parts of building a business that I am so incompetent at. And in The E-Myth, what he talks about is that most of us started our own business from the perspective of being a technician. We have one thing we're really great at, like being a plumber. Plumbers are really great at plumbing. Painters are really great at plumbing, at
painting.
And writers and photographers, they're great at their craft, but no one, and we probably put a lot of time, money, and energy into perfecting our craft, but that doesn't mean we know how to build a business around it. And so finding experts to help you is essential, and a big part of the journey to success in business is getting support.
Yeah. And I definitely have seen it where that task list is never ending when you're trying to do it all yourself. We're in a fortunate position where the two of us have complementary skill sets, and I'm able to do a lot of heavy lifting related to technology that we would otherwise have to pay for. But there's always more to do. Mm-hmm. There's always more hours to fill. And so either you're not going to do X, Y, and Z, or you're going to ask for support to get them done.
And in fact, we sat down as part of our planning on Tuesday morning and looking at projects that are coming up, and Brad's Ironman, and a big launch of our Creative Business Accelerator that we're planning for July. And we just started taking projects off the table, knowing that it will just split our attention and none of the projects will be done well. And Brad's highest priority right now is training for Ironman, and he's working on a re-engagement campaign for our email list. That's all. It's enough. They're two huge projects in and of themselves. And it's so easy for me. In fact, I got totally distracted this morning. So it's Friday before Memorial Day weekend when we're recording this. It'll be a little while before you guys are listening to it. And I got a flash sale offer from somebody in my email. I'm like, oh, that was a great idea. We should have done a flash sale. I wonder if we could turn that around. And I'm like, no, Manette, no.
Yeah, right.
Right? It's a holiday weekend and Brad's going to be training like a maniac all weekend. We're fine. We don't need to be taking advantage of every opportunity that's out there.
But or if we wanted to do that, we would do it by asking for support.
And right? Planning like 3 months ago
yeah,
to do it.
Exactly.
Not at the last minute. So we want to share with you today one concept that was really impactful for both of us. And this is from one of our absolute favorite, one of my absolute favorite all-time business books called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, who actually lives in Ojai. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yep. Local guy, Gay and Kathleen Hendricks.
The Big Leap.
The Big Leap. And in The Big Leap, he talks about how we all have four zones of competency and that the dream goal is to spend as much time as possible in our zone of genius. And he talks about the zone of genius being this space where we are in flow all the time, where the work is easy, where it's effortless, it's making us lots of money, and it takes a lot of support to spend a lot of time in your zone of genius. And the other zones are your zone of competence.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
You are laughing.
I have this picture of me in the kitchen, and I'm trying to figure out whether that's a zone of incompetence or competence.
You're getting better, so definitely.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, the kitchen is probably zone of excellence for me, but not zone of genius. So there's four zones: zone of incompetence, zone of competence, zone of excellence, and your zone of genius, right? Which is the dream space.
So genius is where you're just in a flow. Everything is simple, and it's what
brings you joy.
What brings you joy? It's what people tell you you're best at. Mm-hmm. Not what you think you're best at, but what people tell you you're best at, I think.
And so what we've done with our clients is I actually give them giant sheets of paper and I have them just do a massive brain dump of every activity that they do in their business. And it's pretty overwhelming and intimidating to do this, but we cannot recommend it highly enough. Get some fun markers and some giant sticky notes or a whiteboard and just start writing down everything that you do in your business.
Yeah, little things, big things, you know, all of the crap.
All the things.
Yeah.
Hashtag all the things. Because as entrepreneurs, we do way too much. This is our whole thing about productivity. Again, it's not about doing more. It's actually about what can I let go of so that I'm not doing all the things and juggling hats. So once you do this massive brain dump, then you start to label everything on the list with an I for incompetence, a C for competence, a E for excellence, or a G for genius. Mm-hmm. And I remember the dismay of my husband and some of our clients when they realized how much of their time was, like, we had one client in particular, when she really looked at the list, she was spending so much time in her zone of competence and incompetence, and very little of what she was doing on a day-to-day basis fell into even excellence, much less genius. We had other people that had beautiful insights and ahas from recognizing which part of their work in their business was in their zone of genius. And it maybe wasn't something they had identified as that opportunity before. But so just that noticing about how you feel about all these different activities and getting crystal clear about anything that's in your zone of incompetence or competence, you should be creating a plan for getting support around that.
Yeah. And I'll give you an example, a personal example. From the start, we hired a bookkeeper. Because that is, and a tax person, clearly, that is completely outside of my zone of excellence and quite outside of my zone of competence. And so
I would put it square in my zone of incompetence, actually.
Right. And so even, and I would, it's something that I would suggest for even folks that are just starting out is to let go of that from the start. And I know y'all are out there, oh, I always do my taxes and I like doing my ledgers and stuff like that. Well, if you're that person, that's fine. But you get extra protection from having a professional do it. But gosh, it's just not something that where you're, or it's one of those things where your time is much better spent on something that's closer to your zone of genius or something that's in your zone of excellence.
And even if it's in your zone of competence, it's important to recognize we're not saying that you won't be reviewing the information, that you won't be looking at the details. It's part of your job as the owner, CEO, leader of your business is to know what's going on. You don't need to do the actual data collection. And this would be true for all kinds of numbers, for your financials, for your statistics, all kinds of things. You don't have to be the one to collect the information. I am not an information gatherer. This is not at all in my zone of interest. And so it just doesn't happen. But I appreciate the value of data. And I actually enjoy looking at the data. Other people love collecting data. Contemplators love collecting the data and figuring out how to improve it. And numbers simply tell a story. We find a lot of people want to hold on to this piece of their business, but the truth is that, or they ignore it completely. Creatives in particular have a real tendency to just ignore numbers, data, and facts and figures in their business, but they tell an amazing story and show you why you're maybe stuck where you're stuck, or maybe you're doing better. I remember having one client track her income, and she made so much more money than she thought she did. She just hadn't been really paying any attention. She was afraid to look. So the story had a happy ending, and the story never has a bad ending. It just has a, I need to make some changes here. But I'd love for you to speak a little bit about, you know, your 20 plus years in as a programmer and how you spent a lot of time maybe in your zone of excellence, but not really in your zone of genius.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a lot of time, well, perhaps competence as well. Just a lot of time where, if I identify my zone of genius, it's really the creative part, in the design work, whereas I spend a lot more time or perhaps debugging really complex problems, whereas I spend a lot more time doing grunt type of coding and that type of thing. I would also give other examples. We didn't want to just talk about numbers. I just gave the bookkeeper example. We could talk about writing.
Marketing,
writing. There are many people who struggle mightily with writing. And maybe that means and we've seen this before, you just can never get your website done because you can't get the about page right. Or you can't write the words. Or maybe we're talking about web work, where you just can't get the website done because there's technical hurdles related to it
that you don't know how to overcome. Yeah,
and, you know, face up to it, admit it, it's not your zone of competence even. It's probably a zone of incompetence.
And this is not about judgment or blame or shame or limiting beliefs or I can't do it. This is about owning your genius and then giving other people space to own theirs as well.
Right. And this comes back to what Manette was talking about with the e-myth, where somehow we're magically able to do all of these different things, right? And we really aren't. It's rare to find someone who's even at the level of competence across the board on all aspects of business. It's just a huge set of problems to solve. And there are many people that are much better at individual ones. That doesn't mean you have to go out and spend all the money right now, but find a plan to address that.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to reference about asking for support is to link it back to the pillars of energy and boundaries. And one of the reasons that we see so many of our clients feeling overwhelmed and burnt out is because they're not asking for support. They think they have to do it all on their own, and they're not managing their energy well. They don't have clear boundaries around time or attention, where we see some of the not asking for support or not managing boundaries well is in people doing too much bartering for support. Like, there is something that they want or need. And I find that barters in business rarely end up being really equal, especially if you're a conductor, you always overgive. And so you tend to overgive of your time and your talents and not be a receiver of support. Part of successfully asking for support is being open to actually receiving support. We have an awesome VA, and it's always that reminder of, we need to give her more. We need to give her more. She's perfectly capable and way more in her zone of excellence and genius is some of this stuff than we are.
Sure.
And some of it, we're training her up along with us to be able to have this stuff be in her happy place as well. So when I want to share a quick personal story about how this showed up for me. So we came back from vacation. We try almost every summer to go to Nova Scotia to visit Brad's family outside of Halifax, Nova Scotia. And it's one of our super happy places, a place we really go for a lot of rest and renewal, mm-hmm. as well as family connection. And we came back from vacation and school was getting started and the kids were in band camp and everything was getting crazy. And I'm trying to grow this business. I think this was even before Brad came to work with me. So I was really on my own, just me and a VA. And I had that moment of going, I can't keep doing all of this by myself. I can't do all of the shopping. I can't do all the cooking, all the laundry. And nobody said, Manette, you have to do this. It was just, those were the things that I took on. And I realized that I just needed to ask for support. And as usual, we were walking on the beach. We'd then do a lot of these conversations walking. And I said, I need help. And that was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And so everybody has nights that they cook. Brad and I share the grocery shopping. For a while, we had a personal assistant who we were sad to see go. She got an awesome full-time opportunity. We were so excited for her. And we haven't made the time to replace her right now. And it takes time to find the right support, especially from that personal assistant perspective. But I found that things that small, when we first started looking at how can we get more support to free us up, we actually didn't look inside our business. We looked outside our business. We got a gardener. We got a housekeeper, both just super, super part-time. It doesn't cost us a ton of money every month, but I think it saves us so much sanity. It's so nice to have a clean house. It's so nice that people aren't walking up to a front lawn that's overgrown with weeds, which was what was happening because neither of us were making the time.
Right.
To do the weeding because it's not fun for us.
Well, and you get spread too thin.
It was spread way too thin. And especially the kids, both were in marching band and most weekends we were off on activities with them and there literally wasn't time, right? Mm. And so you can look for support outside your business first as you plan for support inside your business. So do you have a parent, a friend, a child that you could be asking to contribute more to show up? Maybe going to your mom's house for dinner a couple of times a week and letting her feed you would be a way of getting support and some rest and renewal as well. Sadly, all of our family lives far away. It's not even an option for us, right, to be able to do that. So if you have your parents and or siblings or close friends nearby, how can you collaborate? Like if you're a mom with young kids and you know another mom business owner with young kids, can you guys share some childcare so that you have a little bit more time to get work done? So get creative. It doesn't always have to cost money to get support.
How can we relate this to the different unique productivity styles? Commander, the creator, the contemplator, and the conductor.
Such a great question. So the commander, remember, is the super driven, get things done, get them fast. They're really focused on results. They're in it to win it. They're good at delegating if you remind them to delegate. So I find that they tend to be great leaders. They could be a little maybe nicer sometimes about delegating and asking people to get things done. I am one of those, so I speak to myself about that. So for me, it's remembering that I have support in place and I just need to ask for support. For the creators, I think they probably don't think they need support, right? They're not introverted. They're actually very extroverted, but they're not really paying attention to the details. So where the creator really needs to ask for support is in systems and processes so that they can spend more time in their creative zone of genius. The contemplator, they suck at asking for support because they don't think anybody can do it as well as they can. That's him. And then the conductor is brilliant at giving support. They also are really slow to receive support. And one of the things that to remember, when somebody offers support, say thank you and take the support. It actually is a disservice and it's like you're saying no to somebody's gift of offer of support. And I have found myself really guilty of this, of not thinking that I needed help or needing support. And so when people say, well, how can I help? I'm like, I'm good. I don't need any help. So we can all get in this place of thinking we have to do it ourselves, or being over generous and over giving. And when we're over generous and over giving, then we're back in where we're not managing our energy and our boundaries. So that's just very briefly how each of the four types relate to asking for support.
Cool stuff. So let's wrap this up with some key takeaways for people related to asking for support.
So the first one is to identify where you need support in your personal life or your business life, because when you get support, it will free up your time, and it also brings people into your business that have expertise in a particular area. So either in their zone of excellence or zone of genius. So you're looking for partners, for contractors, for collaborators that have complementary talents to you, because together you can grow so much faster than you can alone.
So a good exercise would be the one we mentioned earlier in terms of listing out all the things that you do in the business, identifying which ones are zone of incompetence, competence, excellence, or genius. Obviously, the low-hanging fruit is the work you're doing in your zone of incompetence.
Absolutely. And we cannot highly enough recommend The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks as a resource for that. And the second thing is to actually ask for support. Once you identify what areas of your life and business you need support in, you have to ask, just like I asked Brad and my kids for support. We taught our kids to do their own laundry. It's amazing how much time that saves, mm-hmm. right?
Maggie shaves off an hour just by not folding anything.
Well, we kind of live out of our laundry basket sometimes too. So not the best habit.
Triathletes create a lot of dirty clothes.
I know. I have so benefited from him being a triathlete, because he's doing laundry all the time and he puts mine in too. So I've really benefited from that. So asking for support. First in your personal life, because that will free you up to focus on your business. And then as you are able to plan for paid support in your business. And I heard a great story about this from my friend Rebecca Hall-Greider at one of her live events one time. And she said that when she was first starting her business, she would just have envelopes and she would just tuck cash in there that were for specific paid projects that she wanted to invest in. So she'd get $50 in an envelope and she'd hire a graphic designer for an hour, right. Or she'd get $100 and hire them for a little bit longer, depending on their price, right? And so what she found was that she could focus on projects. It wasn't about having to have consistent support all the time in her business, but that she would hire experts to help her develop different pieces. And so that's a great way to look at it. And it also makes me think of Dave Ramsey's brilliant model of, you know, paying cash for everything, but just having cash in your business as part of your planning and looking at your numbers that you specifically start to set aside for mm-hmm. hiring support in your
right,
business.
Right. And then finally, you listed all of them.
I did. Okay. So identify where you need help, ask for help, and then plan for paid support. Those are our three key takeaways.
Very cool. In next week's episode, we're going to talk to Alan Crusher of Crusher TV.
Yeah, this is like
he's a really cool
episode.
Guy. Yeah, and we're going to talk about theming your days, theming your different times during your workday to theme different types of productive work output. Really killer for me. Definitely something I'm working to adopt into my day to day in my planning. And a neat guy all together. So
yeah, super. It was one of our. We have lots of favorite episodes, but this is definitely going to be one of our favorites. So that's coming in episode 105 with Alan Crusher. And you have heard us in the last couple of episodes talking about the pillars of productivity in relationship to our productivity styles. So if you're curious to discover what your unique productivity style is, you can take that quiz online at pathtoprofitacademy.com/UPS quiz, UPS quiz, or you can find a link to it in the show notes on our podcast page as well.
Along with links to the books that we mentioned, The E-Myth and The Big Leap.
Yep. So two books we highly recommend for every entrepreneur. They are definitely must reads. So thanks everybody. As always, we'd love your support on iTunes. Let us know which one of these pillars is really standing out for you. Or today, my challenge for you would be to tell us how it went when you identified your four zones of incompetence all the way up to genius. And where's one place that you're willing to ask for a little bit more support in your business?
Have a great day, guys. Thanks for listening to Structure and Flow, the productivity podcast for creative entrepreneurs. To find out more about this episode and others, go to PathToProfitAcademy.com and click on the podcast link.